live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a Donegal father of six who repeatedly and regularly raped his teenage daughter has been jailed for 11 years. Two men remain in hospital after being found unconscious outside a nightclub in Letterkenny in the early hours of this morning. A cautious welcome has been given to news that a new batch of SUV vehicles have been assigned to Gardaí. And a number of people in Donegal are among almost 1,000 around the country that have been scammed by a fake online loan provider. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. But first in news, a Donegal father of six who repeatedly and regularly raped his teenage daughter has been jailed for 11 years. 50-year-old Maurice Lafferty of Kirkcullion Castle Finn pleaded guilty at the Central Criminal Court to raping his daughter Annie Lafferty at his home on dates between November 1, 2010 and June 30, 2011. Garda Sergeant John Dorian told Paul Carroll SC Prosecuting that the accused wife worked in Letterkenny and lived away from home four nights a week during the period of offending. Trevor Keegan reports.
Garda Sergeant Dorian said that on a night in November 2010, Lafferty came into his then 17-year-old daughter's bedroom and started groping her and said he wanted to show how much I love you. His daughter tried to push him away and he called her a tramp before pinning her on the bed and raping her. Lafferty told her that no one would believe her if she told them what had happened and that her younger siblings would be taken away if she said anything. The court heard that the 50-year-old continued to rape his daughter once per week when her mother was out. Justice Alex Owens said that Lafferty was a violent and controlling man and said his attacks on the girl were coercive and depraved. He said that, in his opinion, an apology offered by Lafferty to the victim was not genuine. A probation services report indicated that he blamed his intoxication at the time and even laid some blame on his daughter. Justice Owens noted Lafferty was assessed at being at a moderate risk of reoffending. He imposed a sentence of 11 years and ordered that he stay away from any activity with children after his release from custody. Miss Lafferty, now aged 25, who waived her right to anonymity, in her victim impact statement said her parents were more interested in drinking than being parents and she took over caring for her younger siblings. She said her cry for help was ignored. She said she told her mother about the abuse only for her mother to turn her back on her and believe her father's versions of events. Anne Rowland SC, defending, said her client was drinking extremely heavily at the time of the offences. She said he suffered from chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which caused him to black out during fits of extreme coughing.
Two men remain in hospital after being found unconscious outside a nightclub in Letterkenny in the early hours of this morning. Investigations are continuing into the overnight assault outside the premises in the lower Main Street area of the town. While the men's injuries are not believed to be serious, Gardaí are appealing for information. Roy Williams has more.
Gardaí were first alerted to two men unconscious outside the nightclub and arrived at the scene at approximately 3 a.m. Both men were transferred to Letterkenny University Hospital for treatment. Their injuries are not believed to be serious. Gardaí have confirmed that it appears an assault occurred. The area was sealed off for a time this morning to facilitate a forensic examination. Investigations are ongoing and anyone with information or who may have witnessed the assault is being urged to contact Letterkenny Garda Station on 07 74 91 67 100.
A rise in the number of criminal gangs across the country is top of the agenda at the Garda Representative Association annual conference, which gets underway this evening. Rank and file officers are calling for 24-hour armed support units in every Garda division in Ireland. Shane Beattie reports from the GRA in Killarney, County Kerry.
A rise in violent crime and the spread of criminal gangs will be at the top of GRA members' minds when they arrive for their conference this evening. They say there's now a need for 24/7 armed support units at all 28 Garda divisions across the country. At present, there are six regional support units. The Justice Minister and Garda Commissioner will hear firsthand about the problems with gangs when they attend the gathering tomorrow. Other issues being raised include access to the flu vaccine for officers and an appeal to allow them work past the age of 60. Shane Beattie at the GRA Conference, Killarney.
Meanwhile, it's claimed a new batch of SUV vehicles assigned to Gardaí in the northern region are in fact replacement vehicles. The SUVs will be operating in counties Donegal, Cavan, Leitrim, Louth, Monaghan and Sligo. Donegal GRA spokesperson Brendan O'Connor has given the announcement a cautious welcome and says while this is a step in the right direction, more resources are needed in the Donegal Garda division to bring it up to previous standards.
Well, it's always positive to get any equipment or any resources, but I mean, I think we should keep things in perspective. I presume that it's just a rollout of vehicles that are replacing vehicles that are taken out of service. So, you know, we see now a lot of times where there's a lot of spin and a lot of hype about just replacing what we always had or equipment that's necessarily coming into life. So, look, I don't want to be negative. It's great to see top quality cars, police spec. It's what our members call. But, of course, it's only going to the regional support unit, which is a regional unit, which is covering from Louth to Malin Head. And at the same time, we have the situation where our colleagues in Milford, in a district headquarters station, answering ordinary day-to-day police calls, can't get an ordinary saloon car as their response vehicle. They've been told they're not getting a replacement for a Hyundai i40 that's been out of service for a couple of months. We're told we've been given too many vehicles up to date. Now we don't have a district car. So that's the context. So, look, it's don't be negative. Great to see the cars coming, but need a lot more of them and a lot more investment.
Do you think it's a step in the right direction, though? Hopefully we might see more announcements like this in the near future, maybe.
Well, look, it's always a step in the right direction, but I suppose the devil's in the detail. I'd like to know, you know, it's all very good putting up a picture of five new cars, but if five old cars have been taken out of service, or even seven have been taken out of service, we don't know. You know, it's kind of always been portrayed that these are additional vehicles. Addition, the word addition is used, but we're only just regenerating and renewing what we've always done and just replacing what has come to end of life, you know.
A number of people in Donegal are among almost 1,000 across the country that have been scammed by a fake online loan provider. Gardaí say up to €20,000 has been unwittingly handed over to the company behind the sham loan scheme in the last 6 months alone. Victims are asked to hand over the first instalment of their loan repayment before drawing down their lump sum. Once the fee is handed over, the loan is never issued. Detective Chief Superintendent Pat Lorden of the Gardaí Economic Crime Bureau says such fake websites may claim to be registered with the central bank. He says scammers are preying on people who find it difficult to get loans elsewhere, but he's warning if an offer seems too good to be true, it probably is.
We reckon there could be up to 800 to 1,000 victims, and we do know actually, Donald, there are some in Donegal. From our liaisons with our banks here, some customers of some of our banks have made complaints to the banks because money has gone out of their genuine bank accounts here in Ireland. We know that some of the victims are in Donegal. And those people are people who probably can't go into their local bank to get a loan for a credit rating reason or maybe overdrawn in their bank account. And they just may need money to buy a car, to go on a holiday. And these are the most vulnerable people that are being hit. To these people, it can be a very substantial amount of money and puts them in even into more debt than they were in previously.
There are further calls on Donegal County Council to house tourism facilities in the old courthouse building in Letterkenny. The building, located in the heart of the town, was recently handed over to the local authority, and it's widely thought the tourism services situated there would have far-reaching benefits. Councillor Cian Brogan says it's important for the council to explore all options in this regard and utilise the building to its full potential.
I'm delighted, first of all, that we now have acquired the old courthouse in Letterkenny. The council has now that building back free of charge, which is very important. I think there's a huge opportunity for us here in the whole area of culture and tourism. I think tourism's a big part of what we are as a county, and we've seen that. We've invested heavily in the last number of years in, for example, the development at Fannet Head and the Fannet Lighthouse. We've invested very well in Sleeve League and indeed Malin Head. I believe there's a huge opportunity in Letterkenny to develop the old courthouse, but I also think there's a bigger opportunity in the whole area of product development and tourism. Tourism's a big part of what we are in this whole area, and we've seen firsthand at the weekend that Glenveagh, for example, was absolutely packed out. We know rightly that areas like Gartan has huge potential, areas like Doonwell has so much potential. There's so many great product development and tourism that we have here, and I think we need to make sure we explore every option to make sure that we put every effort into secure funding for tourism, because it's a huge generator for the economy. But I think what Donegal has to offer, I think, has much more to be achieved in this area. And I think the whole area of marketing the product we have, but I think investing in tourism is a good investment. We've seen firsthand the huge return and the success of the Wild Atlantic Way, so we need to keep working at it. I know the council has a dedicated team in this area, and I believe there's a lot more we can achieve in the whole area of tourism.
Two teenage boys have pleaded not guilty to the murder of Anna Creeshill. The 14-year-old schoolgirl's naked body was found in a derelict building in Lucan, Dublin last May. Our court's correspondent Frank Greeny reports.
Before the selection process got underway this afternoon, Mr. Justice Paul McDermott addressed potential jurors on a number of issues. He told them they shouldn't sit on the jury if they felt they couldn't give an independent assessment of the evidence. He said the case had attracted a lot of media attention, and he urged them not to take part if they'd already formed a settled view relating to guilt. The jury panel heard a brief overview of the allegations against both boys. The first boy is accused of violently sexually assaulting and murdering Anna Creeshill at a derelict building in Lucan, Dublin on May 14th last. With his father by his side, he pleaded not guilty to both charges. The second boy is facing the same murder charge and also denies it. His mother joined him in the dock for the arraignment. Up to 140 witnesses are due to be called in what's expected to be a 6-week trial that's due to begin hearing evidence tomorrow. Frank Gwaney, the Central Criminal Court.
Donegal County Council is being urged to explore all options with a view towards addressing flooding issues at a Letterkenny housing estate. Residents in Ashfield and Carnamugger are having problems owing to the burn running along the back of some homes there. It's believed that in times of heavy rainfall, the current pipework isn't able to cope with a large volume of water, which in turn leaves some gardens flooded. The local authority has pledged to carry out an investigation into the matter. Councillor Jerry McMonagall says homes are very much under threat unless the issue is addressed.
It would have run openly through back gardens of houses that they have been filled in at the time of the houses were being built, and a pipe was put into place, a 16-inch pipe. That's not big enough to take the water or the volume of water that's in the burn away at times of heavy rain. So I'm asking the council to go and look at it again and see what we can do to help alleviate the problems that residents in that area have suffered as a result of the heavy rain and the overflowing of the burn into their back gardens. And
yeah, because while their gardens are obviously getting flooded, the situation could worsen, especially maybe in the winter months when there's an exceptional heavy rainfall.
Yeah, it would be. And such as the power of the water when it's going down, corralled down the 16-inch pipe, that there's a number of manholes in different back gardens which have effectively the pressure of the water has blew the manhole lids off, and the water has come flying out of it and is threatening the homes, to flood the homes of the people in them cul-de-sacs. So I'm asking the council to go back up again and look at this burn. And this is all, again, part of taking in charge. Ashfield is one of them estates that has not been taken in charge yet. It's one that I believe is ready to be taken in charge.
A meeting is to take place in Fulcara this week to discuss the need for pipe improvements after another burst in the town and surrounding areas last week, which left several businesses and homes without water for a number of hours. On today's 9 till noon show, hairdresser Denise said they have found themselves turning customers away and says that's simply not sustainable for any business.
It's getting to the stage where it's getting embarrassing. You know, you've got people walking in the door, getting prepared for weddings, or we've got Holy Communions now next weekend. We're a bit stressed, a bit worried about that. Are we going to have water? Are we not? And you're turning these people away, and some people that are coming from Glasgow or from England to come to certain occasions, they don't understand. They walk in the door in the morning of a wedding expecting to get makeup and hair done, and they're being told, I'm really sorry, but we're out. They're also left in a situation where they've also got nowhere to go because there is no, the whole town is out. So they can't even move on somewhere else.
This is costing you money?
It's costing money because, you know, Rushing is employing staff. They have to be told that they have to go home for the day. It's costing her money because she has to close the shop, but she's still got the bills to pay. When her water rates do come in the door, she can't turn around and say to Irish Water, do you know what, I'll see you, I'll pay you next October. Clearly not, because they would take her to court. They're providing a service, but they're not providing a service. This is an emergency. They would need to get these pipes repaired.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, with the latest arrival of men's, women's and kids' clothing from leading sports labels like Nike, Adidas and Under Armour.
It's 5:15 and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with soccer. Turner's Cross hasn't been a happy hunting ground for Finn Harps during Ollie Horgan's reign, but the manager is hoping for a change to that record tonight when Harps make the trip south to take on Cork City, of course, in the Premier Division. Harps are still without a win, but Cork, who have been fighting at the top end of the league for several years, now find themselves battling in the bottom half this time around. Trevor Welch, who will have regular updates here tonight on Highland as from the 7:45 kickoff, feels that this could be Harps' best opportunity to take a result back up north.
Yeah, you'd imagine it could be, Oisín. Cork City obviously are in transition at the moment, and right now they're showing relegation form because they haven't won a game in the last seven. They've slipped to eight in the table and have failed to score a single goal in the last three matches. They've only won once at Turner's Cross, which is really strange for Cork City, who were so hard to beat, as you know, at home over the last few years under John Caulfield. But, you know, it hasn't been good. It hasn't been a good watch. The crowds have dwindled a bit, you know, from what Cork City used to having 4,000 or 5,000 at games. It's gone down to, you know, 3,000 to 2,500. They'll be hoping to have a big crowd there tonight because they're in desperate need of a win. But, as you know, Finn Harps came close to their first victory in the league this season, coming within a few minutes away from their first victory. And Harps did make it difficult for Cork City back in March. I think it was March 8th when Harps led twice in that match. So, you know, they know they can put it up to Cork City tonight. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting battle. It's a bottom-of-the-table clash, simple as that.
Yeah, it's been a while since Harps won down there.
Yeah, it's been, I think it's been 1996, Oisín, 23 years ago, and that's 20 attempts against Cork City, and they won back in 1996. So, you know, obviously the record is poor, but records are there to be broken as well. And I'm sure they'll come down, you know, with a bit of confidence from, you know, the performance they showed back in March against City. It took two wonder goals from Garrod Morris, you might remember, Oisín, on that night, two goals of the season, to win it for Cork City in the end. But, you know, I just don't... You look at Cork City at the moment, I've watched every match this season, Oisín, and there seems to be, you know, a lack of confidence there. I don't know if some of the younger players are feeling the strain and are they up to it. You know, they don't have a regular goal scorer at Cork City. I mean, from a striker's point of view, they've only scored once at home this season from a striker. That was Graham Cummins, and that was a penalty. So a striker hasn't scored from open play, would you believe, at home this season. So they're worrying times for Cork City. And I spoke to their manager, John Caulfield, and the assistant, John Cotter, during the week, and I put it to him, you know, about the strain and the pressure now under the management team, you know, for the first time from this duo of the two JCs, like John Caulfield and John Cotter, and this is the first time they've come under pressure. And, you know, they said they're just going to have to respond and win their next match, which is tonight. And then they got Bowes away on Friday, should be very tough one, and home to UCD after that. So they'll be targeting, hopefully, 7 points to try and get them somewhat up the table.
As Trevor Walsh, who is concerned about the form of Cork ahead of the visit of Finn Harps tonight. Once again, kick-off 7:45. And we will have updates here in Highland tonight with Trevor from that game. On the team front, Kieran Gallagher, Mark Timlin and Gareth Harkin remain on the injured list, while Rafael Crotaro and Harry Ashcroft are doubtful. Daniel O'Reilly joins Colm Deasy on the suspended list after being sent off towards the end of that Sligo game last Friday night. There is other games taking place tonight. Derry City, who are fourth in the table, play host to third place Bohemians. David Parkhouse is suspended, having picked up a fifth yellow card at the weekend. Ali Gilchrist sat out training for Derry on Sunday and will undergo a late fitness test ahead of the tie. In the other game, Shamrock Rovers will be aiming to avoid a third successive defeat in the Premier Division when St. Pat's visit the Talla Stadium. Following losses to Bowes and Dundalk, Rovers' advantage at the summit has been cut to 4 points. But manager Stephen Bradley's not concerned by their form.
To be fine, the form hasn't changed. Tuesday, it's 9 men for 60 minutes. Tonight, and for large parts of the game, you're excellent. So there's nothing wrong with the form. We just need to go again on Monday.
Reigning champions Dundalk make the trip to Waterford, and also tonight UCD face Sligo at the Belfield. Newton Cunningham's Ronan McKinley, who plays for Derry City, and a former College to Columkill Ballyshannon student Seamus Kyo, who plays for Southampton, has been selected on the Republic of Ireland under 17 squad for the European Championships, which get underway this weekend at the Talla Stadium in Dublin. But a place has been left open in the squad for Troy Parrott. Talks are ongoing with the strikers club Tottenham about his potential inclusion for the European Championships. Ireland begin their Group A campaign on Friday night in Tala against Greece. The man who scored the winning goal for Celtic in the 1967 European Cup final has passed away. Stevie Chalmers was 83. His passing follows barely a week after that of Lisbon Lions captain Billy McNeil. In Gaelic games, the Donegal Miners have been drawn to face either Antrim or Armagh at home at McCool Park in the second round qualifiers of the Ulster Minor Football Championship. The other fixture in the second round sees Fermanagh host Down at Brewster Park as Antrim and Armagh will face off in the opening round of the qualifiers. Tyrone, who overcame Donegal in the first round last weekend, will also have a home venue for their second round match through the front door as they take on Monaghan, while Derry have been drawn to play at Cavan and will also be at home. All of those games take place on Saturday the 11th of May with a 6 o'clock start and they must be finished on the day. That round one qualifier between Antrim and Armagh is taking place this coming Saturday, May 4th at the Athletic Grounds. In rugby, flanker Sean Reddy is Ulster's only new injury concern ahead of the Pro 14 quarter-final against Connacht this coming Saturday in Belfast. The back row forward suffered a concussion during Ulster's 1.1 over Leinster and is following the return to play protocols. Rory Best, who has an ankle issue, is hoping to feature this coming weekend, while Jacob Stockdale, who had a hamstring problem, looks set to prove his fitness. In golf, 16-year-old Patrick O'Doherty was victorious over the weekend at Galgorham Castle. The Gador man won the Winter Series event under 16 section. A level round 72 was enough for an excellent four-shot victory there. On the snooker front, Ali Carter and Kyron Wilson are both through to the World Championship quarterfinals. Carter completed a 13-9 victory this afternoon to set up a meeting with Gary Wilson, while Kyron Wilson will face Mark Williams conqueror David Gilbert in the last eight after edging out Barry Hawkins 13 frames to 11. Later, John Higgins and Stuart Bingham will resume level at 8 frames each, while Ding Zhonghui will take a 9-7 lead over Judd Trump into the evening session at the Crucible. Don't forget, live regular updates tonight from the Harps game as from the 7:45 kickoff. It's Cork City against Finn Harps. Trevor Walsh will be providing the coverage there. And our next bulletin comes tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisín. And we're turning to some news. 36 people have been stopped by Gardaí in an operation targeting the demand for prostitution. They were stopped following a number of operations in Dublin, Wexford, Louth and Kildare. Gardaí say the individuals were spoken to on suspicion of having purchased sexual services. A number of files have been prepared for the DPP. A Donegal councillor has again expressed his dissatisfaction at the lack of progress on the A5 and other cross-border national roads projects planned for the northwest. Councillor Patrick McGowan has spoken out following the last Donegal County Council Roads and Transport SPC meeting, during which it emerged little to no progress had been made on the projects throughout the entire five-year duration of the current council term. Councillor McGowan says it seems there has been no forward movement at all.
There needs to be more pressure put on, both during the current elections and obviously the new Dáil elections won't be far away, but it is very, very disappointing. And then recently I heard as well that Transport Infrastructure Ireland, who deals with all the major motorways and roads in Ireland and Donegal and everywhere else, they actually dictate to Bus Ireland the different terms and routes as well, and they have actually stopped now discount for travellers from Donegal. There's a Bus Éireann club which gives regular transport, people who take transport up and down to Dublin on a regular basis, gives them a discount. That now has actually ceased since the beginning of this year. So they're really Transport Infrastructure Ireland, who used to be the MRA, who are in charge of all transport now in Ireland. You know, they really don't seem to be given any consideration at all for the remoteness or how trying to get people in and out of Donegal.
Donegal is often referred to as the forgotten county in terms of infrastructure. This is another example of that, perhaps, and another example of these vital connections that are being neglected.
Yeah, well, look, there was a reason why Donegal was cut off for many, many years, and thank God we've moved on from that, where you had the troubles in the north, but that's long gone. Like, for the last 15 years or more, we were expecting investment you know, roads, links, plans. And, you know, that does take 5 or 10 years to sort of design and get forward. But, you know, we don't seem to have gone forward at all. Like, we just, you know, as I say, in the last 5 years, we have sat now in this Roads and Transportation SBC, and we've had report after report come from senior TIA officials, both north and south.
For weather now, mainly cloudy this evening and dry in most areas. Cloudy tonight with some patchy light rain or drizzle and lowest temperatures of 8 to 10 degrees in light to moderate southeast breezes. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a Donegal father of six who repeatedly and regularly raped his teenage daughter has been jailed for 11 years. 50-year-old Morris Lafferty of Cork County and Castle Finn pleaded guilty at the Central Criminal Court to raping his daughter Annie Lafferty at his home on dates between November the 1st, 2010 and June the 30th, 2011. Two men remain in hospital after being found unconscious outside a nightclub in Letterkenny in the early hours of this morning. Investigations are continuing into the overnight assault outside the premises in the lower Main Street area of the town. It's claimed a new batch of SUV vehicles assigned to Gardaí in the northern region are in fact replacement vehicles. The SUVs will be operating in counties Donegal, Cavan, Leitrim, Louth, Monaghan and Sligo. Donegal GRA spokesperson Brendan O'Connor has given the announcement a cautious welcome. And a number of people in Donegal are among almost 1,000 across the country that have been scammed by a fake online loan provider. Gardaí say up to €20,000 has been unwittingly handed over to the company behind the sham loan scheme in the last 6 months alone. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Monday evening, April the 29th. The death has occurred of Annie Clark, née Gallagher, Coolaty, Lifford. Her remains will be reposing at her late residence from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 20 past 10, going to St Patrick's Church, Murlock for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Bernard McLaughlin, Killyclogher, Oma and formerly Drumcarne, County Donegal. Bernard's remains will be reposing from 8 o'clock this evening at his granddaughter's residence, Zoe Henderson, 65 Ben Aveen, Letterkenny. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning, going to St Columba's Church, Drumahal for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Jimmy Mullen, Brehe, Portnabla, Dunfanaghy. Remains are reposing at his late residence at Brehe. Funeral Mass in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy on Wednesday at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Lake House Comfort Fund, care of any family member or Harkin Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Patsy McCauley, née McGrain, 32 Tullymoan Road, Claddy, Strabane, and formerly of Ballinacarrick, Ballintra and Listu. Remains are reposing at her home. Funeral leaving her home on Wednesday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St Columba's Church, Donnyloop at 11 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to SMA Drummond Tyne, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. And the death has taken place of Kathleen Bonner, née Parker, 4 Water Terrace, Milltown, Convoy. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for 2 o'clock service in Carn Owen Presbyterian Church. Burial afterwards in the family plot. Family flowers only.